You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. I'm off on vacation, and pleased to welcome your able blogger and all-around radio guy, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Scared. Stuck in the middle with you right here from Houston, Texas for one more hour of the Peter B. Show today. What is today? I don't even know what day it is anymore. Great to be here. I'm here for the rest of the week sitting in for PBC while he's overseas enjoying a well-deserved break. The family in Italy. It's our election integrity hour once again here on the PBC show. And as folks who know the show know that I, Brad Friedman, am a frequent guest, a weekly guest, in fact, on Peter B's show on Fridays, which has been dubbed the election integrity hour on the Peter B show. Now that I've hijacked the joint, however, we have one every damn day. I'm going to speak momentarily here with John Gideon of VotersUnite.org to get the latest daily voting news today. And then shortly thereafter, Leonard Piazza, the election director from Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, who's got some concerns. He's being strong-armed, I think is the correct way to say it. We'll ask him what he thinks, by the ES&S Voting Machine Company. And this is not the first election director, I should add, to complain about the strong-arm tactics of ES&S. So we will talk to him about that momentarily, and then we're going to try. Oh, I got to talk after as well this hour about Governor Richardson, who was at the debate last night, and he's wants to see no more touchstone voting machines. That's right. That's what he said. No more touchstone voting machines. Governor of one of the only states to actually ban DRE touchscreen voting machines. Erg, we got a mess. We'll take your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm going to try to keep the last half hour open as a free speech zone and maybe see if I can even get some of this stuff in about Gonzalez's new spying programs. Who would have thunk it? Let's go quickly, though, to catch up on the latest from our good friend John Gideon from VotersUnite.org. Oh, John, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm here and doing well. Thank you.
All right, how's our democracy? Do we still have one? What's going on?
Well, it's still, I think, in trouble, but we're doing what we can to point out where the problems are and get them fixed.
And what's the where are the news points today as this thing moves forward?
Well, my lead, as was it seems yours, was the story from Luzerne County. I'll save all that and let you talk about that with Director of Elections Piazza. But in line with that, though, I wanted to point out a quote from another county official.
Right.
This is a gentleman by the name of Robbie Self, who was the county elections administrator in Miller County, Arkansas. And he resigned earlier this year from his job, and he had this to say about election systems and software.
ES&S.
The reason I am leaving is a provider of the Ivotronics, that's the direct recording electronic voting machines provided by ES&S, and related software lacks competency to make their equipment work timely and effectively. They make a difficult job impossible to do. They can't spell, meet deadlines, send documents to the right address, or code elections correctly.
Mm.
They leave races off the ballot for us to correct. They can't program their software to work, and you have to hand add the results. And they don't return phone calls. The ES&S people in Arkansas are capable, but the people I have dealt with in the home office in Omaha prevent them from being effective. They are also mean-spirited when you try to get them to correct the numerous and recurring errors.
And that was what was his job? that fella?
He was the election administrator for Miller County, Arkansas.
Well, it seems like he's not the only one who's had that problem, and we're going to talk to Leonard Piazza about exactly that. And by the way, during the break, I was able to post that letter that he sent to his county, actually, I guess to his state, asking for the money that ES&S is demanding from them. I don't know any other way to put that. We'll talk to him about that in a second. All right. Real quickly, anything else going on today, and what do we expect tomorrow from these hearings in the Senate, Dianne Feinstein's Rules and Administration Committee concerning her election reform bill, 1487?
Real quickly, the hearing is not really to do anything with the bill. They're not going to mark it up or anything. This is just to get more information and to allow a bunch of people to come and do their thing before a Senate committee. On the witness list is Senator Clinton.
Senator Clinton is on the list of witnesses?
Yes, she is. That's a fact.
What's she going to talk?
All by herself.
What is she going to talk about?
Beats me. She is one of the co-sponsors of the bill, so I'm sure that she's going to talk
glowing terms about how wonderful it is.
And we've got Vermont Secretary of State Deborah Markowitz, George Gilbert, who is seems to be testifying quite a bit in D.C. He's from Guilford County, North Carolina, Board of Elections. Wendy Noren from Boone, she is the Boone County Clerk in Missouri. And then Michael Shamos, who will be also testifying.
Leonard Piazza knows Michael Shamos. He tests out in Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Ray Martinez?
Ray Martinez, our friend who used to be the election assistant. And the Election Assistance Commissioner with the EAC, and he's now with the Pew Center on the States, a really good guy. Mary Wilson, who is the president of the League of Women Voters. Doug Lewis.
R. Doug Lewis.
R. Doug Lewis.
Of the Election Center.
The Election Center, yeah.
You know, that's right around the corner from us here down here in Houston, John.
There you go, yeah.
So he's going to be out of town? I could go look around the place tomorrow.
He's right across the street from the lawnmower repair shop and right next door to a burned-down church.
Yes, and he's not going to be here, so I can go see what's really going on at that crappy little office. All right.
Tanya Clay House.
So let's say a mixed bag of witnesses tomorrow at Dianne Feinstein's hearings on this.
It's going to be interesting to read some of the testimony and finally see where people stand, because nobody is saying anything.
Interesting. We're going to get out. We'll pick that up tomorrow, certainly. I want to make sure we have plenty of time here, though, in the next segment for Leonard Piazza. So, John Gideon of VotersUnite.org, thank you so much for all you do. Check out Bradblog.com after the show goes off the air. The daily voting news from John will be up, and you can read about all of those stories. So much more. We're back in a moment with Leonard Piazza and your calls. Please stay tuned.
Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff, Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Dallas.
And I'm Ashley.
We would like to invite you to Malibu by the Sea in Monterey.
A bold new full-service salon and bronzing spa.
We specialize in color, multi-dimensional highlights, trendy cuts, and the highest quality human hair extensions.
We'd love to help you with your new look, so give us a call at 383-0807. That's 383-0807. Talk a good time.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
And let's take a look at traffic, give you the very latest up-to-date information. It's been a pretty slow afternoon, to tell you the truth, and a pretty slow evening, but that has changed a little bit since we last spoke, and we're going to mention that we do have a problem working right now. It is in Santa Cruz, southbound 1 at Morrissey Boulevard. It's a crash on the right shoulder, and we do have a CHP unit on scene. Live Oak, Rodeo Gulch at Soquel, a crash there. Not a lot of information being provided at this point. And we also want to take a look at another problem. It's in Salinas River Road at Parker, a crash on the right shoulder. Also Salinas West Blanco at West Acel. We have an injury crash, a car and a motorcycle in the intersection there. And another Salinas problem, it's North 101 before John Street, a two-vehicle crash on the right shoulder. And this report brought to you by J.C. Penney.
Election reform. It sure ain't pretty. Election reform. Every state, every city. Election reform. Like Iraq or Ukraine. Election reform. In the USA. We don't believe our votes are concrete. No paper ballots. We can't compete. Gotta wonder if somebody cheats. Election reform is not a sexy thing.
No, it's not.
Election reform, the media swing.
Mm-hmm.
Election reform, do they steal, do they rob? Election reform, gotta look to the blog.
Yeah, you do. You gotta look to the Brad blog, bradblog.com, where I ply my trade, if I can call it that. This is our Election Integrity Hour on the PBC Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman sitting in for Peter B. And we've got a story today at the Brad blog. It's actually a story. It's not our story. It's from the Citizen's Voice. It's a great story out of Luzerne County. Oh, I'm going to see if I'm saying that right. Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. The election director out there... Leonard Piazza is not happy with the treatment that he's getting from the ESNS voting machine company. They've had to, the state has had to, of course, has decided to move over to touchscreen voting systems since the implementation of the Help America Vote Act. And now that they've got these ESNS iVotronic machines, ESNS is telling them, okay, we'll give you an extended warranty on them. It's going to cost you $300,000. We're not going to negotiate, something like that. Let's find out. We're going to get the real story here from Election Director, Luzerne County, Pennsylvania Election Director, Leonard Piazza, who joins us here at this late hour. Appreciate you jumping in and speaking with us this afternoon, Leonard.
Well, thanks for having me, Brad. I appreciate it.
And this letter is pretty extraordinary. I know you didn't mean it to get out publicly necessarily, but you talked about, quote, the mix of deception this company promulgates. You talked about unsavory business practices that vendors such as ESNS seemingly have a deep commitment to employing. Was it your choice to work with this company, ESNS, in the first place?
Well, I think that the decision, you know, came down to, you know, what our available options were at the time that we selected the system back at the outset of 2006. As you may remember, the state of Pennsylvania was up against the wall in terms of certification. A lot of the counties didn't have the opportunity, I think, to really review a lot of the systems as on their own terms,
right.
And most of the vendors at that point, you know, couldn't comply with the request to fulfill an order. In fact, for that matter, ESNS told us initially that, you know, we would have all of our machines in place, and then as it turned out, they, you know, only delivered a portion of the machines, which forced us to run a hybrid system in the county of both touchscreen and paper for that first election cycle.
And, you know, this is a problem that this company, ESNS, has had. They've all had similar problems in dealing with counties and getting out ballots on time and meeting orders. What kind of treatment did you get from the company? Were they friendly? Did they say, gosh, we're sorry, but this is the way the rules go? Or what kind of experience did you actually have with them directly?
Well, I think that it's been a difficult relationship from the outset. We entertained all of the vendors at an exhibition at our county courthouse in the summer of 2005. We had a public commission. We were open with the process, and you know, we expected the vendors to be open with us as well. And even at that point, you know, I felt as though ESNS really didn't. Wasn't meeting the standard of integrity that I was expecting of them when I asked them to bring, you know, the optical scan unit. The sales representative did not bring that for us to take a look at, and it was merely to have that opportunity to look at it and have that citizen panel consider that as one of the available options.
And do I understand that they didn't even bring the machine that you had requested to see? They were is this because they were pushing their DRE touchscreens?
Yeah, the sales person brought the LS and the iVotronic, and when you know I questioned him and asked him why he didn't bring what I asked him to bring. You know, he candidly told the panel and myself that, you know, that wouldn't be of interest to the county.
He decided what would be of interest to your county.
That's right.
That's incredible. And so they were obviously pushing these. They make a lot of money on these touchscreen systems, I guess, more than OpScan. What were you guys using before you switched over to these DREs?
No, we were a lever county. So we had the old-fashioned lever machines.
And were you required by the state to get rid of those lever machines and go to new systems?
Well, I think that, you know, we were required by the federal government. I mean, all of the counties in Pennsylvania, excepting one, you know, were able to, you know, comply with those federal regulations. And I think it's important, I think, for people to understand the positions that, you know, that we as election administrators were faced with at that particular point in time. All of the counties in Pennsylvania were under tremendous pressure from, you know, the federal government to comply with this act and scrap those machines and get the HAVA compliance system in place.
Did HAVA actually require that you get rid of lever machines, or was it just if you wanted the money to continue updating your system, you had to get rid of them?
Well, I think that at the time there was a legal opinion that it did in fact require us to scrap the lever machine for the federal elections. But in the letter that was made public today, it's important I think for people to understand, that Luzerne doesn't stand alone here in this problem. And like you pointed out earlier, I wouldn't be the first election director to complain about these sorts of things. And there's a number of counties in Pennsylvania and other jurisdictions throughout the country that, are facing the same thing. And I think it's time now that that as election administrators in the states and in the counties that we begin to address these issues and take them on. It's not something that we can just say, we'll just hand over $322,000. Because that's what you say it is.
And did they tell you, they said, oh, don't worry about it, we'll be able to negotiate that later, and then it turned out you had no right to negotiate it, it was $300,000 or nothing?
That's absolutely right, and not just our county, other counties throughout the Commonwealth as well. They made representations early on that, hey, look, the most important thing right now is getting the machine on the ground. We've got to meet the requirements, and there's articles that go back to March of 2006 when I remember reading stories out of Ohio where the jurisdictions in Ohio were just getting the bills for the extended warranties, and they were, what they deemed in the press in Ohio to be in sticker shock. So, I did raise these concerns early on with the vendors, but we were told we could talk about that at a later time. There would be plenty of time to negotiate, contracts at the county level.
Just trust us. Leonard Piazza, are you able to, I know it's late out there, would you be able to stick around for another quick segment after the break here, or do you have to get going?
No, sure, I can stay on.
I appreciate it, because, I try to reach out to election directors as much as I can. For some reason, a lot of them don't like talking to me, and I wish that wasn't the case, because we're kind of all in this mess together. I think you guys have gotten a raw deal. You talk about the multinational corporations that you've got to, that you have no choice at this point but to do business with, and sort of their thuggish behavior. I want to see if we can get more details on that, and maybe even take a call or two here. We're speaking with Leonard Piazza, election director for Luzerne County. Oh, boy, being bullied by the ESNS voting machine company here in our Election Integrity Hour. We're going to talk about that much more after this break. I'm Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Go for Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and Peter B. on vacation. Hosting today from Houston, the citizen journalist who presides over BradBlog.com. Here's Brad Friedman.
And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore. And it's not worth fighting for.
It is worth fighting for.
This is our democracy. We'll fight to keep it free.
We will.
You won't go telling me our vote don't matter anymore.
It does. And we're going to fight to make sure that it matters. We're speaking with Leonard Piazza, election director for Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. We've got a report up at BradBlog today. We've got the full letter posted now from Leonard Piazza about the problem he's been having with the ES&S voting machine company. He writes that in addition to the $300,000 that ES&S is by and large strong-arming them for, it seems to me, he writes that the county cannot individually deal with such a large multinational corporation and the mix of deception this company promulgates, and respectfully asks that the Commonwealth, specifically the Department of State, for its leadership in ensuring that the voting system vendors doing business here do not have the opportunity to threaten a democratic process with such unsavory business practices that vendors such as ES&S seemingly have a deep commitment to employing. Leonard Piazza, what sort of unsavory business practices are you referring to here from this company?
Well, what we're talking about there with that is, promises made and promises broken, on a number of different occasions, you know, we were told that, you know, we would get certain things from the company, certain discounts, certain breaks, certain, you know, equipment benefits and things of that nature, and they just never followed through on a lot of that stuff. It's just very difficult to work with all around, and, you know, it's just been tough. It's been real tough on me as an election director, and I know, you know, a number of the other election directors, so... You know, when I speak to the issue of not being able to deal with them individually anymore, I think it's time now that, you know, we collectively deal with them in the state in some fashion, either through the Department of State or the counties together as one.
Well, I suspect that, you know, it's rare, and a lot of election officials around the country, I find themselves defending the voting machine companies that they end up really in partnership with. And so I think if we're at the point where you, the election director of Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, are speaking out against this company, what they must have done must be not good. And I don't know if you heard what John Gideon, did you hear the segment before we brought you on, Leonard, with John Gideon?
Yeah.
From Miller County, Arkansas election administrator who said that he's leaving the job. Because ESNS lacks competency to make their equipment work timely and effectively. They make the job impossible to do. They can't spell, meet deadlines, send documents to the right address, or code elections correctly. Did that sound familiar to you?
Well, you know, in our case, a lot of it, you know, we realized, I think, early on that they were, you know, in over their heads in terms of, you know, how much service and support they could provide. In fact, they told us, you know, very early on that they wouldn't be able to provide us services and support for the first election. So I, as an election administrator, had to take the initiative and kind of, you know, navigate the waters, you know, myself, so to speak, you know, with, of course, you know, with the county here. Our staff and, you know, our team here in Luzerne, and we were pretty much out there, you know, on our own to figure a lot of this stuff out. And, you know, it's important for me to continue to fully understand that system and know, you know, that when those machines go out that, you know, that they've been checked and double-checked and triple-checked by our folks here. And I've seen the stories about misspellings and things of that nature. We don't even leave that up to the company. We do that completely in-house so that I know that, you know, I see what's going in. And then when I get the coding back, the same thing had better come out.
Leonard, I know that when you you said that when you were asking for the demonstration, they didn't even bring the optical scan originally. Why did you go with a touchscreen DRE systems instead of paper-based optical scan systems when you had this choice to make?
Well, we found, I think that, you know, by and large, as many of the other counties in the Commonwealth did, that the voter preference really was for the touchscreen system, and you know, we're.
Based on what? Where did you get that?
Well, we got it from our exhibition that we held. We had a very large exhibition, which I think we had, you know, between 7 and 10 of the vendors that were competing for the contract in the county at the time, and we took, you know, a considerable amount of feedback on that. So it wasn't something that, you know, hey, oh, you know, it's, look at this, you know, fancy device here. Let's get this. It wasn't anything like that.
With all due respect, though, the voters. Who I'm fighting for every day, of course, they don't understand necessarily, you know, technically what goes into this. And while it might be more fun, I guess, to vote on a touchscreen system, you and I both know, certainly having studied these things, the dangers of the touchscreen systems that Michael Seamus, I believe it was, professor out there in Pennsylvania, was testing these systems and although I believe it was a tabulator, as a Sequoia, I believe, was showing people how they couldn't be hacked. He accidentally hacked one of those systems. I mean, don't we need this paper-based system so that we can have confidence in our electoral system so that the citizens can have it, no matter how much fun it might be to vote on touchscreen systems?
Well, our county has been on the record a number of times as, you know, a county that certainly does support a voter-verified paper trail. You know, I've got concerns as an election administrator about, you know, the current legislation and the shape that will take. I don't think that at this particular point in time, considering, you know, the point we're at right now, that we should really rush into something that is not going to be as effective as it possibly can.
Can we rush back to paper ballots? And that's different from the paper trails you mentioned. I don't believe you guys should rush to paper trails because they're terrible. And I'm glad that you guys don't use paper trails on the DRE systems out there. But how about a paper optical scan system? These have been around. These have been proven. And we know that when they don't work, at least you've got a paper ballot to actually count. What's wrong with that?
Well, you know, for some of the jurisdictions, I mean, there's pros and cons to both. I mean, we do use some paper ballots in our absentee system. And, you
right.
know, there's been talk about expanding, you know, access to absentee ballots, and more people are using them. So, I mean, there are benefits to using paper ballots. But there are also benefits I see in using DREs, providing in that, you know, that the election administrators are doing everything that they can to ensure that those machines are working properly. And if they're not working properly, and there are ways to detect that.
I don't mean to challenge you here because I really want to have a conversation about what are those advantages exactly, because I've yet to be able to find any. Leonard.
Well, I think that the speed of the return and I just think that overall the experience that the voter has, the speed of the return, there is the audit log that's on board, so that, you know, if we had to go back to that works. I'm somewhat satisfied in the machine's operation, in that, you know, if there's the detection of an anomaly, that the system will shut down. We've seen that happen, so and we're able to recover from that.
I feel that we're, and I appreciate those thoughts, but the speed of the return, you know, I'll wait an extra week if that's what it takes to make sure we get it right, certainly in Pennsylvania, which is a swing state. And the experience of voters, I mean, what do we mean by that? Fun, or is it easier for them to vote?
We've gotten the latter part of that. That, you know, that they find that it's easier to vote now than it has been before. So, I mean, we've not really had any kind of we've not had significant complaints here about that. And the only, you know, the one thing that does concern me about, you know, an all optical scan system nationwide is if you get into another situation like you did in Florida in 2000, that would just be a nightmare. I mean,
but Leonard, what happened in Florida was not a problem with the ballots. It was a problem with counting the ballots. At least we had something to fight about how they should be counted. Right now, these votes disappear on these touchscreen machines, and we have absolutely no idea if they are accurate or not. None. And every time we look at these machines, we find out that they're not accurate.
Well, that's the dilemma that Hava has caught. You know, I mean, again, you know, from you have to look at it, you know, in from the election administrator's perspective, and what we were faced with, all of the counties affected by the law, and what we had to deal with at that particular point in time, and the choices and the options that were made available to us.
Let's take a quick call here. Mary in Pennsylvania. Mary, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi, Brad, and hi, Leonard. How are you?
Good, Mary Beth. How are you?
Is this Mary Beth Kuznick?
Yes, hi.
Now, you guys have been fighting it out on the blog, I see. So we'll try our best to stay civil here. What's up, Mary Beth?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, Leonard, I'm glad to talk to you in person in a more calm manner than sometimes we've met before, but that's not a story for your show, Brad. It's kind of concerning to me. I think the letter is great that Mr. Piazza wrote. I think it's just terrific because it tells it like it is. But I would like to point out that over the course of the selection process in the state of Pennsylvania, many, many citizen groups in all parts of the state tried to do due diligence as citizens and dredged up cost reports and comparisons of optical scan versus DRE.
Mm-hmm.
And the process was, as it was described, the vendors came in there. They didn't bring the optical scan machines to show. They did everything they could to steer these counties onto DREs because the profit margin's higher.
They did, Mary Beth. And do you have a quick question? Because we're short, as usual.
Oh, yeah.
Time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd just like to, you know, ask your guest, you know, where he sees this going. I mean, you know, my county's one of the Ivotronic counties, and you know, I actually haven't been over to the courthouse to see what we're doing, but, what you know, where do you see this ending up?
Thanks, Mary Beth. Appreciate it, and appreciate all you're doing out there to fight for democracy in Pennsylvania. Leonard, any thoughts?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Mary Beth. I appreciate that. Where do I see it going? To put it simply, I can't see where it's going, okay, because I think it's going to go on for a long time to come. The ripple effect that HAVA has caused in the 2000 election and the aftermath of that is just... it's extraordinary, really, because we haven't really seen anything like this since, you know, the late 1800s, when, you know, there were controversies over, you know, blanket ballots and things of that mm-hmm. nature, and the push to switch to the lever machines. So I think we're at, you know, that period again, and I think it will be some time before all of this, you know, takes a final form, and what form that final form is just yet to be seen. I don't think anybody really knows where it's going.
Well, I agree, and I think it's a mess, and, you know, Mary Beth raises a good point. I think that with this company, ES&S, Diebold, and the others, it seems to me that they have very much been, let me say, driving a wedge between the officials and folks like Mary Beth. I know you guys have had your back and forth. You can read about it on the open thread over there at BradBlog. But I think this has been exploited by the vendors and who have not been honest players here and who have made it in such a way that the officials, like you, are now bound. You've got to stay with these systems, whether you like it or not. And they're pointing to folks like Mary Beth and me and saying, oh, you know, they're crazy. You want the speed of returns. You want the fun experience of the voters. And I think ultimately it's the voters who suffer here, Leonard, because they're exploiting. These are bad guys. I really think these companies are behaving as bad guys and are driving a wedge between voters and voting officials. And do you see anything to that?
Well, I think that there's a new tension between, you know, election officials in the jurisdictions and individuals like you and Mary Beth that, you know, certainly, you know, have every right to question the process and
I think the companies are exploiting that.
Well, and that may be, but you know, again, it goes back to, you know, the decisions that we had to make at the time and under the pressure that we were under to make it. And, you know, the suggestion that, you know, we could have just gone out and bought an optical scan system, considering that they didn't even bring it to the table in the first place, I'm quite certain that we would have been told, well, that we just don't have it, you know, because another state... you know, that statewide is using, that they're demanding a statewide optical scan, so therefore we can't provide that. We don't have the resources.
Talk to Mary Beth and those advocates. They'll stand by your side if we're going to fight for paper ballots. We will. We need to work together on this, Leonard. I got to get out. Leonard Piazza, thank you very much for taking the hard questions here today. I really appreciate it, and for standing up to ES&S. Leonard Piazza, election director for Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. Thanks, Leonard.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good evening.
You betcha. You too. All right, we're back for a few more minutes. We got to get out. Brad Friedman here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Terry MacArthur of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs, and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry MacArthur is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know, I
The show on KRXA 540.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at the very latest, and let's get to it. So, we're going to mention a problem working right now. It is in, Salinas River Road at Parker, accident, right shoulder, two vehicles involved. Also, Salinas, West Blanco at Alisal, we have an injury crash, a car and a motorcyclist involved in this crash. It's in the intersection, CHP actually on scene. And we want to mention also another problem that the CHP is helping with. It is Salinas northbound 101 before John Street, two-car crash, right shoulder. Other than that, let's look at another problem. It's in, Soquel, 41st Avenue of Soquel Drive, a two-vehicle crash reported. Capitola, southbound 1 after Bay Avenue, fender bender right shoulder. And the support brought to you by PG&E. Look for the blue and gold PG&E sticker for your Compet fluorescent light bulbs. Support, again, brought to you by PG&E.
All right, we're back for our last few minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman, burning down the house for Peter B. Just a few minutes left here before we get to wrap it up for today, the end of our Election Integrity Hour. I am quite grateful to Leonard Piazza for sitting in today to answer some of those questions. Hope he'll come back and other election officials will come back to meet the press, so to speak, that they usually don't get to meet. Speaking of meeting the press here, last night Democrats had a debate, the so-called YouTube debate. There was one question about democracy. It was not a particularly brilliantly worded question, something about standardizing elections or something. The answer, however, was rather telling. It came from Bill Richardson, the only person up on that stage who really should know this stuff, since his state of New Mexico had banned touchscreen voting machines after the various disasters they had in 2004, when they actually cut off the recount, did all sorts of things. The question was, are these systems, why is it so hard to make a standardized system? He took the opportunity to, here's his response about touchstone voting machines.
As president, I would push the whole country to verify paper trails. There are close to 10 states that do this. My state, a year ago, my state was one of those states, along with Florida and Ohio, that because of the touchstones, there was uncertainty about the election. We have close to 50% of those Americans eligible to vote voting. That is inexcusable compared to many other nations. We need to have same-day registration. We need to have an effort to get the Republican Party to stop suppressing minority voters. We need to find ways also to depoliticize the Justice Department that tried to find those voters that were legitimately voting. And lastly, a verifiable paper trail with optical scanners is going to improve turnout, democracy, and it's going to get a lot of young voters in the polls.
We're going to take a short break.
All right. Well, there's the governor of New Mexico last night at the Democratic debate talking about his concerns about those touchstones. I'm sure he meant touchscreen, DRE, touchscreen voting machines, though it sure would give you a little bit more confidence if the governor of New Mexico, who's running for president, the only guy who actually banned these systems in his own state, knew what they are called. So, all right, we'll call him nervous. He's nervous. It's a debate. Fine. He goes on then to speak about paper trails and voter verifiable paper trails. Look, people, It's not a paper trail. It's a paper ballot. And it's not voter verifiable or voter verified. It is by its nature, if you use a paper ballot that is going to be used on an optical scan machine that can, or counted by hand, that can be counted by that machine or by hand later, it is by its very nature, by its very definition, it is voter verified because you fill it in. Now, I'm not running for president, but is it that hard to get that message across when you're the only guy who has actually banned these systems? And by the way, when he banned these systems, and Leonard Piazza was talking about the upsides, he was trying to come up with some upsides for these DRE systems. You know, one of the things they said is that it makes it easier to vote. There's not as many lost votes on these systems. Well, when New Mexico banned touchscreen voting and they went to paper-based systems, guess what? Minority undervote rates went plummeting. American Indian precincts, 86% undervote rates had plummeted. Hispanic communities, 69%, the undervote rates had plummeted, simply going from touchscreens or touchstones to paper-based systems, optical scan systems in this case. This is the governor of New Mexico. He's running for president. Can someone there be a voice for democracy? Is that too much to ask? Now, we may hear something more from Dennis Kucinich about this before all is said and done. I hope we hear from the rest of the candidates. I hope when they come to your town, you will hold them, their feet to the fire, and ask them the tough questions about paper ballots and, yes, touchstone voting machines. Am I being too hard on them? All right. This herewith, we wrap up another brilliant 3 hours of radio here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's been great to thank you for being here with us. We've still got a few more days here coming up tomorrow. Who we got tomorrow, Desiree? Oh, somebody wants to pick. Turn on your mic because someone wants to hear from you. Tell us who's coming up tomorrow. Do you know?
Let's see. Let's go. Tomorrow we have, Max Blumenthal.
Oh,
yes, he's
very
exposing
good.
The Chicken Hawks from today's College Republicans.
Oh, he's going to expose
the Chicken
Hawks.
Yeah, those guys had their
right.
own
Who else?
Conference. Yeah. Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com.
She's very good, yes.
And Brad Blog. Washington, D.C. correspondent Margie Byrne.
Oh, Margie Byrne. She's got a breaking story that we're going to run tomorrow at Brad Blog.
Ooh, I can't wait. And also, of course, the Daily Election Integrity Hour with John Gideon. How's that?
And breaking news and your calls, if we can ever fit them in, and so much more. I want to thank today's guest, Dwayne Bradley here, the general manager of KPFT. Please help him out to throw a few shekels their way at kpft.org. They are making it possible for me to rant at you all damn week long. Otis McClay, also out here at KPFT. Mary Mapes of HuffingtonPost.com. Check out her stuff. Jason Leopold of TruthOut.org. Check out his stuff. John Gideon's stuff at VotersUnite.org. And, of course, at BradBlog.com. And Leonard Piazza, the election director of Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. Go check out that story at BradBlog. My thanks to Brian Urban and Katrina Rill up at home base. What do we call it? Mission Control in San Francisco. Of course, the lovely Desi Doyen here, making it all possible in Houston, Texas. I am your friendly citizen blogger, whether you like it or not. Brad Friedman will be back tomorrow for much, much more on the Peter B. Collins Show.